Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Again for another episode, yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all, yes, I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes, directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promised times of refreshing are upon us, the time to rediscover the ancient truths, the time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness, must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten. My truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, has he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things, precious truths, that men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light, when all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed, when indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah!
Yes. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are back. Yes, indeed, I thank the Most High that we are back again for another episode. Another very, very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Edim Yah, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful. Yes, very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity. Yes, this very precious, precious opportunity to be back with you here again. For the Most High has told me, my brothers and sisters, yes, the Most High has told me directly that under his cause I do have some very important things for him that I must do. And he told me that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things, and men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. But the Most High has always had a plan. Yes, indeed. He's always had a plan by which, despite all the treacherous schemes and ideals of all the nations, he will still yet bring back for his cause a people worthy to be called by his name. Brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that last few days, last few days, have been a time of a pouring down of a tremendous amount of revelation knowledge. So much so that I must admit there are times when that much is poured down that it takes a little moment, a little bit of a moment, to readjust. Or let's just say settle enough to prepare to speak. So much to talk about. If I can give you an example, I'll just simply tell you that over the last couple of days, I've written about some 23 odd points, very, very powerful points and perspectives that quite frankly, few have given consideration. 23 points I'm looking at right now. And I just simply tell you that I sought to elaborate upon just one of them. And there were pages written. Just one. I dare say, it is because you live in a society that has not discerned what was indeed the ancient expectation, what was the common knowledge that the early church knew, that there's been a tremendous amount of scripture taken completely out of context. And primarily, my brothers and sisters, because those in places of power, I said primarily because those in places of power have had no intent that the peoples of this earth today should discern what indeed has always been the expectation of the faith. And yet, my brothers and sisters, if you begin to speak about so much of this, there are those who, quite frankly, so they find it difficult to think beyond their own priorities. They find it very difficult to rationalize, to reason, to seek genuine balance in their thought forms, that they might genuinely be fair unto genuinely discerning what has always been divine will and purpose. But my brothers and sisters, I would tell you that only, as the Most High told me, only the most humble and diligent soul would genuinely come to understand the height, depth, and breadth of all that Yah has truly planned for those who will love and seek after Him. So it's written, my brothers and sisters, so it is. I'd like to relate something simple before I even begin to delve deeply into, much more deeply into the topic matter at hand. Something I heard earlier today. Well, first off, before I even start talking about that, maybe I need to relate a little bit precursory information. It might make what I'm about to talk about make a little bit more sense. Realize the dire nature of just how much truth has to be recovered, just how much understanding what is divine purpose has to be recovered before our people can truly be awakened unto all that the Most High desires. Within the last week, not just here, but on another radio show here local in town, I began to speak about some of the deeply interwoven truths. I said some of the deeply interwoven truths of the scripture. Some thought the things that I spoke of, like for instance, Hosea 8:4, they have, what scripture said, Hosea 8:4, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have established princes, but not by my knowledge. They have set up themselves idols, that they might be cut off. How about divided? My brothers and sisters, if men set up for themselves institutions, ministries, oftentimes men want to call themselves ministers but have not been called. And men set up for themselves ministers, ministries. Many want to call themselves pastors and have not been called to discern genuinely from on high with authority what is the truth of the gospel. like I said, if men set these folks up to rule over the people, my brothers and sisters, if men are set up to rule over the people, to teach the people, and it has not been Yah who called them, and men, again, my brothers and sisters, have set these people up after their own ideals, what do the people expect to be taught? What do the people expect to be taught? Just hold on a second, please. Yes, I'm back. I'm sorry. Thank you for your patience. But like I said, if people set up men to teach them and their only desire is to be exalted or flattered after what is common knowledge, compromised among the people, what do people expect to be taught? If what they have been taught, my brothers and sisters, is not from the Most High, and men have not heard the truth of the gospel, the question is then, my brothers and sisters, who is it that they have heard? And who is it that they have called upon? Questions that need to be answered. Yes, indeed, questions that must be answered. Time we understand, my brothers and sisters, the truth. We must understand the truth of the issue, my brothers and sisters. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Dad. I have to hold on for a second again. Okay, we're back again. Thank you. Thank you again for your patience. Heaven help us. So much to be taught. So little time, so few ears, and ready to hear. Well, I'll just tell you that I talked to a particular radio host, and one of the things he spoke to me was, or said to me, was this after relating these things. He said that, number one, he's not a theologian. He said the type of truths that I was talking about, and he couldn't argue them. He said they were for folks like myself, he said, who, here, my brothers and sisters, are into that kind of thing. But he basically said he's not going to attempt to try to understand all these things. Now, I understand this is a radio host, this is someone who speaks to thousands of people every day. And I mean literally. Thousands of people every day. Then he played on radio today, the intro of his show. Some of you heard this statement made before in a song, and some of you learned it as children. He played the song for some time. Oh, yeah, by the way, this is the man who claims to be a Christian. Or let's just say he claims to be a believer. Let's put it that way. Said that he used to be a Baptist, one of the things he spoke about today. Said that of late, he has relatively recently converted. He's not calling himself non-denominational today. Wow. Still same old Easter, Christmas, Sunday type of folk, though. And definitely being a radio personality compromised to give adherence to such things. Also, someone, by the way, I'm going to tell you now, is a has not exactly said that he felt anything and easily brought to task with regard to LGBT movements, but he calls himself a believer. But like I said today, I started to talk about that. I began the intro of his show, quoting from his pastor. I could tell you who he is. Some of you would definitely know him. Then he began to play the song. Many of you heard it as children. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. You know, I got to thinking about what he had just recently told me, and I think about the sentiments of many who want to believe that everything is hunky-dory and everything is all right. They want to believe that Messiah gave his life for their sins. They don't understand that was related to, as a collective statement to a people. He gave his life to, like when Scripture says, he gave his life petitioning the Father, saying, if I do not go, the Comforter will not comfort, will not come. The peace of knowledge and the knowledge of the peace of the covenant will not be restored. Then think about it, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says he gave his life to be Lord of both the dead and the living. How about to declare one standard? How about him and my brothers and sisters declare one standard unto all? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about it. The Hebrew word, we've talked about this many times, relates more in the context of one just loving something according to ideals of their own minds and hearts. It has to do, my brothers and sisters, with the man also to seek him. Now listen to the point. People say, oh, how I love. Well, they sing the song. But are unwilling to seek to be sure that what they have loved has been the truth of what is divine will. He has loved them, they say, but they have cared not enough to seek him. So they want to be satisfied with whatever it is as a belief system they would uphold. They want to believe that it is right. They want to believe that it is acceptable. I heard him say such a thing as, hey, he used to be a Baptist, now he's non-denominational, but hey, he doesn't have any misgiving for anyone who believes whatever they believe. Because he calls himself another one of many baptized into the faith. He said baptized into the Christian faith. First thing that came to my mind is how can a whole bunch of different folks having different beliefs, opinions, and ideals be baptized into the Christian faith, faithful unto the will of one. If a multitude of different people have a multitude of different belief systems could be baptized into the Christian faith, how is that possible? That's what men have called Christianity. It's nothing else, my brothers and sisters, but confusion and a polytheist farce. But this is what some believe about the faith of Messiah. I see scriptures in the book of Malachi that tell us that the very reason why he is called the Lord whom we seek, or we should be seeking, according to Malachi around 2:16 to 3 and 4, the reason why we should be seeking him is so that we don't fall victim to men and their multitude of aberrant and evil, deviant doctrines and ways. Did you hear me? We are to seek him so we don't fall victim to confusion. He said, if you love me, oh, they said they love him. He said, keep my commandments. That word for keep my commandments is also the same context as guard, maintain, and defend. Hear me now. Divine instruction. He said, and then I would ask the Father for the spirit of truth, which the worldly, how about those who want to be remain indiscriminate, will not receive. In other words, not only will they not receive, but they reject even coming to a level of discretion to discern truthfully between what is good and what is evil. How can you say you truly presume, or how can you say you truly keep, preserve, guard, maintain, defend the faith if you have no intention to know assuredly or seek assuredly beyond personal presumptions what it is? Something, my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, is desperately wrong about this. Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Also, it means seek. Obviously, must mean also to seek the deeper things of his word. Because he said, there's many things I long to tell you, but you cannot grasp unless the Holy Spirit, until the Holy Spirit has come. That means when the Spirit has come, which is also called the teacher of all things, that it should be obvious that you ask the Most High for his Spirit to be taught. How about beyond the ordinary status quo of men? Should men say that they've had faith, my brothers and sisters? Should men say that they've had faith beyond the myriad, diverse, confused differences, adversities of man? Should men say that they've had faith and faithfulness under one, preserving and choosing to be indiscriminate with regard to all these differences? Well, we understand that commerciality, being mercantile, if you will, in your orientation and desires, can leave a soul extremely indiscriminate, desirous simply to placate or to flatter or to persuade whoever might be exploited by one's personal regimes and ideals. A lot of folks just simply say, hey, if Messiah gave them his life for their sins, then basically what they say, I regret to say, being not compelled to seek the greater truth, they say, well, what difference does it make if they know good from evil? All these different denominations, according to them, are all part of the faith. I even had a pastor recently tell me that it doesn't make any difference. We're saved anyway. My brothers and sisters, the scriptures talk about the idea about the salvation of man. And if you really look at the scriptures closely, they talk about the salvation of man being beyond, seeking beyond the misconceits, all the misrepresentations, all the pretenses of men. Even when it talks about the gospel and sending forth the gospel that Yah might reign. Isaiah 52, it says, behold, they shall know my name in that day, but they shall know, behold, it is I. The gospel, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures tell us, any man preaching any other gospel, how about to confuse the people not to know the truth of the Most High? It says, let him be accursed. The gospel, my brothers and sisters, Messiah told his disciples to go forth and teach all nations. Did you hear me? Messiah told his apostles, disciples, become apostles, to go forth and teach all nations everything he commanded, that men might convert unto the cause of the Most High, says Messiah, ultimately, if you understand it, for these latter days, for the cause that he has for the purpose, cause and redemption, first of his people Israel. I have to ask a question, my brother and sister. Has that been the priority of the nation? The apostle Shaul said, my greatest desire for Israel is that they might be saved. How about that all Israel might be one? How about that all Israel might have peace? How about that all Israel, my brother and sister, might discern the will of the one Most High after mutual love and understanding? If men have not had a mutual love and understanding for what they call faith and belief, my brother and sister, I have to ask the question, since the Most High is one. What is it that men have called upon? What is it that they've sought to preserve, they've sought to be indiscriminate? The scriptures talk about watching out for the intrusions of the principalities and powers, that you guard the integrity of the faith. How about the pure word from above? That it not be tainted after the misconceits of this divided and confused and contaminated world. But there are those who care not to even consider. Not to even consider this. Blinded by their own priorities. Refuse to see it. Like I said, there are those who care not enough to seek the truth of the Savior. That they may defend the truth of his will beyond the indiscriminate, indecisive, selfishness of contentious, selfishly ambitious men. No, not even for the salvation peace of his people. Think about it. The Apostle Shaul said, my greatest desire for Israel is they might be saved. In so many ways, it means he prayed the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Most High is one. Y'all must seek and love him. Hey, doesn't make any difference. Where we are scattered among the nations, whoever calls upon his name is obligated to seek the Most High for the fullness of all that is his will. All my heart, soul, and might. How about having no other concept of deity, no other concept of God, no other standard? This we must do, that we love one another rather than deceive one another. Wow. I have to ask my brothers and sisters, since Messiah in Mark 12:29-31 says that is the utmost command of all, how is it that men have believed that they've been true to that faith? Everyone having his first priorities to defend his own ideals. However, my brothers and sisters, whatever it is that has seemed wise to their own hearts, how about after born of this world, priorities taught that men believe subordinate, or let's just say partial standards, taught to believe that partial standards are somehow before the Most High to be counted wise. Something, my brothers and sisters, about that is utmost errant. How can you guard, maintain, and defend the integrity of a faith, the integrity of a character, after whatever it is that men want to imagine? So many have not discerned the true word of everlasting life, my brothers and sisters, and you need to understand what I mean by that. The true word of life is a word without contradiction. The true word of life, my brothers and sisters, is a word, no lie in it. It is a constancy according to what the Most High declared from the beginning, eternal. We live in a society today that wants to call so much, my brothers and sisters, have none of that priority or even that stance or expectation or understanding. Still wants to call it heavenly. Brothers and sisters, this has only resulted in all manner of condemnation for mankind. Like what the scriptures say, they set up these idols for themselves, set up kings and rulers for themselves, but not after divine knowledge. Set up kings for themselves, but not by Yah. Scripture says they might be cut off. Hosea 8:4. How is it that men believe just because these people claim to be pastors, because they claim to be worthy to rule, because people oftentimes pick them to rule? How is it that people, I believe, my brothers and sisters, that when these people cater to the diverse hypocrisies of man, do men really believe the Most High sets the rulers over them to govern the people in hypocrisy? Something about this, my brothers and sisters, is desperately quite wrong. It's time, my brothers and sisters, we discern beyond this mass of anomalies the faith of the Most High. There's none of this confusion in it. What I'd like to talk about tonight, my brothers and sisters, I know it's a little late, so I'm not going to make this show incredibly extended. But there's a lot that needs to be talked about in order to clarify some things. You know, they did mankind a serious offense when they broke the scripture at Romans, 10:13? At Romans 10:13, when it says, let me read it to you. Putting it up now. Romans 10:13. They simply put, how about start at 10:12? But there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. That means he can reveal his greater truth regardless of whether one be Jew or Gentile. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. The apostle Shaul said, how then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Wow. Let's consider that verse, my brothers and sisters, in the context of Joel 2:32. I talked about how in the last days, the Most High, all who come to pass, and all who call upon the name of the Most High shall be delivered. And in Jerusalem, it says, should be deliverance unto a remnant whom the Lord has called. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of scripture, for instance, in Zechariah 10:2. Isaiah 59:8. How about Isaiah 41, my brothers and sisters? 41:21-42:4. Psalms 2. Psalms 14. Psalms 53. So many times, my brothers and sisters, it's true that if you read the scriptures closely, you'll find that the reason why the Most High sends Messiah so often is because the whole world, I repeat, the whole world has become blind. But there are soothsayers out here who will never make admission of that, because it means they too are blind. There are those who will never tell you the Messiah comes to restore a covenant, because it means what men have trusted in is being short-sighted and polluted in so many ways is not a covenant at all. The varying ideas of man and their contentions, how can there be a covenant of peace? It's just not possible. I'm saying to you again, my brothers and sisters, they did man a great disservice when they chopped up that verse and didn't leave the part in that says, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance to a remnant when the Most High is called. Why? It's a shame. It is because men have not thought about that part where it says, to a remnant whom the Most High has called. But many have believed that they call upon the name of the Most High. How about according to anybody's doctrine? How about according to whatever they've been compelled after this world to believe? And believe it's salvation, not realizing there's a need to transcend and seek beyond all this indiscriminate thinking. It says it's to a remnant whom the Most High has called. You need to understand what this means, my brothers and sisters, when the scriptures ask the question. Check it out. 10:14, how soon then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? When Messiah appeared, had people already believed the truth, the gospel? Have they truly known what it is? if they called upon his name, not having heard his word, would they call upon, could they call upon him in truth, according to his message? Could they rightly call upon him to preserve his message? Could they call upon his name and be able to automatically could they declare his message? If they hadn't heard his message, could they automatically obey his message? If they hadn't heard his message, could they automatically just, could they understand it? I would have you to know that the word for hear, and the scripture says such thing as faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Yah. That's the way they translate it. It should be a word from Yah. Can people, my brothers and sisters, rightly understand what they've heard no teacher to explain? When it says, how then can they call upon him they have not believed? How about not heard, not believed, not understood? What do they call upon? Because it means the same thing, my brothers and sisters. 10:14, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Well, if they believe and obey and understand, it's the same. How can they understand, rightly discern him whom they have not heard? How can they believe in whom they have not heard? How can they trust? How can they be faithful in him whom they have not heard? How can they obey him whom they have not heard? When for a long time, you need to understand what these scriptures are saying. When for a long time the people had not heard a true preacher. Awesome statement. My brothers and sisters, the scripture says in the last days, man is going to find out when Messiah is truly revealed. If they had not heard the word of one truly having authority from on high, the nations are not truly heard one having authority from on high for a very long time, many generations. Talks about the leaders. Say they preach. Romans 10:15. How shall they preach except they be sent? Well, if they weren't sent, if they weren't sent with a message, what is it that they preach? For the scripture says, beautiful are the feet of him that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. My brothers and sisters, we go back to Isaiah 52. As I said before, those scriptures relate that this must be done and Yah shall truly rule and reign over those who claim to believe in this earth. Because it says, and that day shall they shall know that it is I. Behold, it is I. They shall know my name in that day. Because the leaders have caused them to howl. How about become indiscriminate, beastly, short-sighted in their reasoning? So what's the gospel for? Glad tidings of the gospel. How about the whole sure message that is the gospel? The pure, perfect word of the gospel. What else is it for but discretion? Well, we live in a society today that says the gospel is Messiah gave his life for their sins. So looking at that individually rather than looking at it collectively, they don't realize that since the Most High is one, it said his people must be one. When scripture says all that is named by his name must be one. They forget that it is a sin if, as a people, there are divisions amongst us. Messiah gave his life to be Lord. Wow. How about to prove foolish all those who persecuted him? My brothers and sisters, if Messiah were to come today and declare an absolute, would people be inclined to hear? Or would they be inclined to seek to be justified? After what is common to their thinking, according to the doctrine, that their various pastors, priests, rabbis, and elders have dared compel the people to call wise. which one? There's a reason why 10:16 it says, but they have not all obeyed. Some sticks say all have not all obeyed, some not all heard, some not all understood the gospel. But Isaiah said, our Lord, who has believed, how about understood, obeyed, testified what is true to our report. So then faith, it says, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. It means, my brothers and sisters, what is faith? Faithfulness under the will of one, beyond all the diversities of this world, has to come by a direct call from the Most High himself. Simply what is written on a printed page is not enough. 45,000 denominations read the same book with difference of opinion. How many, when they read this book, read it from the standpoint of discerning what these words truly meant and their initial impetus and purpose as they were iterated from the minds and mouths of those the Most High had anointed with insight. To know what is said, not know why it is said, is to miss the point. And there are those who have used these scriptures to say exactly opposite from what's intended, telling the people that they can't believe in the Messiah, can't believe in the Most High, lest they go to one of these devilish pastors who have no intention to seek the whole truth. He told me, like I said, this guy once told me, he said, hey, he's not a theologian. He's not an intent to seek these things deeply. These things for those who are into that sort of thing. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. What's this pastor supposed to be doing? It's true. The verse was never quoted to him, never explained. But he was still sanctioning this man who's supposed to be, if he's a pastor, should be some kind of a theologian. Should have some real premise and examination, not just part of the scripture, but quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, when the Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations everything he commanded, everything he instructed, and all the scriptures said that the prophets spoke by the spirit of Messiah that was in them, it means, my brothers and sisters, that it's a priority for those who would be called themselves the children of the faith. To seek all that was said along the prophets. To seek the right understanding and application of it all. There are those who say that they are not theologians, but they've been baptized into the faith. Wow. So everybody's baptized in the faith and nobody seeks to defend it. Something's wrong. And there are those who will say they have no intention to seek things deeply. But they are worthy to be called part of the faith with no intent to defend it. As far as them is defend, as far as they're concerned, defending the faith just simply means they defend the idea that they can say, do, or whatever they want to, even directly defy divine commands. And still be called faithful. Something, my brothers and sisters, is desperately wrong about that pattern of thought. I want you to think about something, my brothers and sisters. Truly, there's a need. We need to understand what the scripture means. When it said they had the law but did not seek it by faith, it means they had the law, did not seek it by faithfulness unto the will of one, and the end result was never salvation, nor could it be peace. Had not thought unto a mutual faithfulness true to the will of one, how could there after this be peace? But even to this day, humanity has not sought mutual obedience to divine, all that is divine law. Most have been content only to walk after what they have learned, born in this world, after allegiances, and giving themselves to allegiances they've heard from men, And so is the whole world duped, my brothers and sisters, and so often stagnated by its rulers. Still not free. Scripture's really saying, my brothers and sisters, is around 10:17 of Romans, that faith unto faithfulness, unto peace, if you will, comes by a mutual understanding. And that understanding, unto true obedience, if you will, has to come by the inspiration of Yah. They put down word, the word for word down there, I told you, in the original language, but they the concept of not just words, but very thoughts. Most High has revealed his thoughts upon the minds of hearts. It didn't say people, say everyone saying know the Most High. Restoring a covenant, the scripture says, the woman shall pursue, seek her husband. In other words, there has to be a love enough for what is the true will of the Father, that his people will seek him for all that is his will. If collectively as a people, we are not willing to do this, have we restored a covenant? Have we restored even what is called the first love? People talk about having a covenant, but hey, guess what? One scripture talks about everyone seeking after his own advantage. Wow. We have a covenant with the Most High, Son said, and not even willing to seek all that is the covenant for the mutual good of one another. Like the guy told me, hey, these people don't know they're going to church, and they certainly don't go to church to be deceived, he said. So let them just go ahead on as they are going, so he told me. Wow. So a devil will divide, mislead, misguide our people 45,000 different ways and more. And these are they who say concerning, oh, why they want to believe it, they personally are saved. They will say let the devil then have his way. And they really believe that they can, that they said such things after the gift of the Spirit. Scripture tells us if any of us want spiritual gifts. First idea, first priority, if you want to put it that way, should be that we edify. In other words, that there be a sanctification. Pure understanding. Purification. Conscience. That's the will of one among all our people. We want spiritual gifts. But then there are those who have had no intent toward this, but they still believe that they receive the gift of Yah, the favor of the Most High, standing against the perfecting of his will among the people, but believing that they themselves are personally favored. Something's wrong. So men say they receive the Holy Spirit, testimony, inspiration, sense of justice, yet being persistently devout to believe that adverse carnal rules of this earth are yet sufficiently wise unto redemption. My brothers and sisters, we examine the scriptures really well. We find out, for instance, Psalms 1:10-11, reverence for Yah, the beginning of wisdom. Said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That means guard it against the intrusions of the world. Men say that then they've asked for the Holy Spirit, but they still want to call sufficient the varying testimonies of man. My brothers and sisters, do men believe that they can attain to a pure, perfect testimony for the Most High, believing that the standard that they knew or that had been common in this world were already sufficiently wise? Can they accept the Most High as a teacher if they believe what they've been taught by their leaders was sufficiently wise? I put up passages of scripture like Zechariah 10:2, Isaiah 59:8. I could talk about scriptures like Psalms 2, Psalms 14, Psalm 53, others. It says the Messiah has appeared. Messiah will appear. He has reproved all the nations for their unrighteousness. Now, brothers and sisters, would that be necessary for him to have to teach again the truth of the gospel, that men might discern him as he is? How about beyond all the leaders who made the people beastly in their reason, in their reasoning? Would Messiah have to do all this if what people believe was truly acceptable knowledge of Yah? Sanctionable by the Most High? Could be so. Brothers and sisters, I say think it's time for people to think again. I see scriptures in Isaiah 19 says that people have to learn how to vow a vow to the Most High again to perform it. Meaning that they made a vows, made allegiances. But my brothers and sisters, they say they swear by the name of the Most High but speak the language of Canaan, which means they swear by the name of the Most High but according to the imaginations of men. Is that acceptable? I see Isaiah 48 say they swear by the name of the Most High, but not in truth nor in righteousness. Most High would have to refine a people before he seals and confirms them in his name. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who have no intention, regretfully, no intention to seek the truth, that our people might not be divided. And like I said, purity and completion offers one choice. That's the gospel of peace. If one is content after his own mind and his own ways, my brothers and sisters, the mutual understanding, the mutual beauty of a people cooperative unto the will of one is something that men in their personal arrogance have sought to rob the Most High, that he does not see it on earth. Something desperately wrong about that, my brothers and sisters. Like I said, the priorities of the Gentile nations have not been for the redemption of Israel. Certainly not according to the truth of Israel. I actually have heard people turn around and say that, hey, Paul's priority was the redemption of Israel. Hey, as if the Gentiles are already saved. Wait a minute. Most High is one, his people must be one, but the Gentiles are much of the multitude of diverse, adverse nations. And they all want to believe that what they teach and have propelled somehow for the Most High. In its multitude of differences, viable. My brothers and sisters, that's folly against the name of the Most High. First perception, before people go any further. I see scriptures that relate it. If you hear me, my brothers and sisters, that when Messiah was about to ascend, he said to his disciples, feed my lambs, feed my ewes. But the book of Jeremiah tells us in 23 that the leaders have not fed the flocks. It talks about how, my brothers and sisters, that the people oftentimes wanting to remain indiscriminate after the demands of society have not even been compelled to seek the greater truth. Like I said, they can find acceptability among men as indiscriminate as they want to be. So the Most High be pleased with this. Having discerned the Messiah had already come, and I hope you understand this when I say this, those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis, I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is that the people, having heard the Messiah had already come a second time and had been crucified, those who truly believe said that being the case, first and second time of coming, they have come. I don't know when Messiah would appear, and they were compelled to seek him diligently that they prepare for him. What is the first thing he said? All the disciples said to them, just as Messiah was about to ascend. They asked him the question, because it was a top priority. They asked the question simply, will you at this time restore? Will you at this time restore the dominion to Israel? That is a highly implicative statement. Who is it that the early church knew would restore the dominion of Israel? How about restore all the tribes together again as one? Who did they believe Yeshua to be, according to all the prophets? Perhaps there's a need for men to go back and examine that. Because quite frankly, today, my brothers and sisters, men more concerned about personal pulpits and thrones have not been concerned about the restoration of Israel, because quite frankly, the scripture talks about the covenant after which the Most High restores Israel. I didn't say the Gentile nations. That covenant, my brothers and sisters, will not only restore Israel as a people, gathered together in the Messiah in these latter days, yes, in the West. Hosea, need to look at it, Hosea 11:5, particularly around 10 to 12. Now, scriptures talk about, my brothers and sisters, the redemption of Israel, the restoration of Israel, all ungodliness being turned out from Israel. It talks about, my brothers and sisters, Israel being a blessing in the midst of all lands under global peace. It means that all nations will have to conform to that same rule. Isaiah 11 speaks of it. And yes, my brothers and sisters, when Isaiah 11 speaks of it, it talks about all the veils of all the various rulers of the nations being exposed in folly. That the knowledge of Yah covers the earth, the water covers the sea. Has that been the priority, my brothers and sisters, of all the nations, that the rulers be recognized in their folly? He said it would be the priority, my brothers and sisters, if you loved him. Again, my brothers and sisters, we're getting back to that idea about seeking Yah, that you know what it is indeed that you have loved. Wake up time. There's only going to be those who have sought the Most High to truly discern how to overcome their sins, misallegiances of this world, misrepresentations of this world, learning how not to lie, which should be confirmed his true servants. We live in a society today, my brothers and sisters, that does not think like the early church. They knew a Messiah had come a second time that... But like I say, not necessarily regarding all that was said in Daniel 7 and Daniel 12. They felt, many of them, that, hey, the second part of the prophecy has come to pass. When shall come the third? But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who never had that expectation. And Messiah said ultimately must not be forgotten. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, that care not for that gross word. And I know what the Most High told me. He told me that I must discern these things. Responsible. He told me I have this responsibility to seek these things regardless. But I'm going to tell you something, my brothers and sisters, whether people discern the preciousness of the words or not, Yah is still going to be true to all that he says. So, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, the most precious souls are those who seek the Most High, even when the whole world is prone to reject so much of what which you would speak. Because this word indeed is like a sharp two-edged sword. The false pride, my brothers and sisters, has blinded the masses. People want to be called wise in their carnality, not want to recognize that it is not by the Spirit of Yah they presume so much. Well, again, my brothers and sisters, the people expect to learn. What have they been humble before? If not willing to ask and seek the Most High to discern all that of him is required. Like I said, you ask the Most High for a teacher. But there are those presumed that they, however they call upon him. That's all they ever needed to know. So again, I have to even ask the question, have the people even known? Who've operated after this kind of thinking? Have they even known the Most High at all? And I say no. And why? The scripture talks about in Revelation. It talks about the gathering of all the unclean spirits. How about all the unclean testimonies of all the rulers of all the nations gathered against Messiah? And Messiah will expose them all. Would people have sent into office leaders of such foolish testimony? If they had known the Most High, known Yah, known His Savior in the first place, and if their people are willing to have over themselves, desires to have over themselves rulers who always compromise the will of Yah, and are not willing to petition the Most High for something so much better, because so often these leaders indiscriminate offer them favor. Then, my brothers and sisters, what kind of representatives and what kind of guardians do we have for the integrity of the faith, especially when they're willing to place in the office people who lie and swear on the Bible that they are believers, but if you told them so much of what is written, they'd be inclined to reject it. My brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that so much of the confusion that exists among our people today should not be. But there are those who, like I said, this other radio host told me, he's not a theologian. It's only for folks like that, or only for folks who are into stuff like that. All he knows is Messiah gave his life for his sin. Is it, my brothers and sisters, is it to be considered sin or goodness? If folks won't seek his will to discern what is what he truly requires. In my mind's eyes for a second, when I closed my eyes, what I saw was a wire that should be one to conduct a current. Extremely frayed, a hazard, something that could easily break, and if hooked up to a light, there would be none. My brothers and sisters, that's what's happening in the world today, because so few want to understand the truth to the height, depth, and breadth the Most High requires. Most seem to be afraid of what they have not understood, when the truth of the matter, the only hope you have for salvation is to understand. My brothers and sisters, I do thank the Most High for every year that He brings near. There are those who listen to this show on a regular basis. Would understand what I meant when I say the 2,000 years ago. As the apostle Shaul spoke the way he did in Romans 10. Because indeed, my brothers and sisters, if the people had sought the Most High by faith, they would have been prepared for the Savior rather than pronated to reject Him. But there are those who presume whatever they will and say the Most High is supposed to like it. I say it's time to think again. A lot to talk about, a lot to organize and try to make it where I could speak it all in as short a time as possible and still get the point across. Planning on trying to do that. Well, I'm doing it even now, contemplating in the back of my mind even now. A lot of people are going to have to come to grips with. But as much as I say that, I know it's very likely that even by tomorrow morning there will be so much more that has to be examined. I just simply pray that folks don't think I'm kidding when I tell them there's a word like an overflowing torrent coming. And people need to learn very quickly, my brothers and sisters. If there's nothing else you can do because the water's coming, better learn how to swim. Because the Most High is going to do everything He declared for all that it is. And I dare say, I would say, venture to say about 99.9% of what's in the Bible, most people haven't had no clue. For all that and all its implications and more, what man's about to face. And the leaders will comfort the people in vain, not to even know to look for it. But ask yourself the question, my brothers and sisters, have these been honest men, honest and honorable men, or men treacherous against the salvation of your soul? Time to ask that question and begin to seek, my brothers and sisters, whatever greater truth the Most High would offer. For a long time, the people have not known. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Eddie Meow, Covenant of Remembrance Ministries. Under His might and His honor and His praise always, thank the Most High for every ear that He brings there. I would strongly admonish you to check out that website of mine, hiddengospel.com. Articles like Prophetic Proof, Secret City Prophecies, Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. Like I said, people of old wanted to know when Messiah would come return, or when He would come, or would He even at that time come to restore Israel. And if you don't know who the scripture said would come to restore Israel, the connotation of all that is written according to Him, well, I got news for you. Scriptures relate. You understand them well. That everything that was prophesied will finally be brought to bear in His third appearing. There are those who are stuck in the past, not looking forward to what is truthfully to be revered in the days of future to come. So again, I admonish you to check out the website, examine closely, article called Well, Word of the Shepherds, Tribulation 70 to 365 AD, all of them need to be examined closely. There's a wealth of information, my brothers and sisters, I promise you in every sentence. So many of my people are oftentimes surprised in a matter of sometimes 5 minutes. When the flow is going, I can get 3, 4, 5 pages of notes quickly in about 5 minutes about things that I hadn't even ever considered before. But it's happening, my brothers and sisters, whether people are ready to believe it or not. I thank the Most High. Yes, I do. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, has been Eddie Meow, Covenant of Remembrance Ministries. Under His might and His honor and His praise always, thanking Him always for every ear that He brings near. Hallelujah! Indeed, I thank you all again. Yes, I do. Pray, my brothers and sisters, for the sorting out of so much the Most High would grant that His people must know. Because know these things, they must.